B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
ESPN's Kendrick Perkins, who spent 14 years in the NBA before stepping into his current role as a commentator, apparently had to spend some of his time in quarantine on the phone with his credit card company because his kids, unbeknownst to him, spent $16,000 on Fortnite.
Whoa. Sweet mother of God.
Whoa. Perkins said, in my house, it's nothing but Fortnite, NBA 2K, and it just drives me crazy. He said, I get my credit card bill back, right? I go to the store. I go to buy something. Jeez. Credit card decline. And I'm like, what? I haven't used this. I paid it. Come to find out, I got $16,000 worth of Fortnite bills on my credit card. And ever since then, I was like, you know what? I'm cool on Fortnite. I do not indulge in video games. Perkins put some of the blame on the game itself.
Yeah.
While Fortnite is free to play, there's plenty of things within the game that people can spend money on, as Perkins learned the hard way.
A lot of parents complain about that.
He said, I'm looking at the video game, Fortnite, like they're tricking you. All of a sudden, they're saying, oh, the game's free, but you got to buy skins and do all this other crazy stuff. Perkins was clearly upset with the unexpected bill, but with roughly $57 million in earnings to his NBA career, chances are he can afford to take the hit. But that's still a lot of money, man.
I mean, you really don't have to buy skins because the skins don't... It doesn't give you any extra ability.
No.
It doesn't give you an advantage.
You're just tailoring the game a little bit more. That's all it is.
It looks a little bit different, and, you know, there is a keeping up with the Joneses type of mentality there. Yep.
All right, there are places where it may be appropriate to strip down to your undies and start dancing, but the middle of a street just west of U.S. 1 is not one of them, but that's where Indian River County Sheriff's investigators went shortly after 6 p.m. on March 26th. An arrest affidavit states investigators arrived at the report of an intoxicated subject. They were told of a woman who appeared to be under the influence of an unknown drug as she actively took her clothes off in the roadway. The woman, later identified as 25-year-old Vero Beach resident, arrived in a red pickup truck, and after the female stripped herself down to her underclothes, she began swinging a golf club and dancing in the middle of the roadway.
She had a golf club.
Fully naked, yes. Nor did it specify the type of dance she was doing, but it did say she was dancing. Deputies reported the woman paced around in her undies, slurring profanities at passersby. She was jailed on a disorderly intoxication charge.
That must be the new craze we heard about, the new golf dancing.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Israel Health Minister Yaakov Litzman, who previously claimed that the coronavirus was, quote, divine punishment against homosexuality, has tested positive for the virus.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Litzman and his wife have tested positive. According to the report last month, Litzman, while discussing...
You mean the beard.
The coronavirus said it's a divine punishment against homosexuality. And now, earlier this month, he and his wife tested positive, forcing Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and several top government officials of the country to go into quarantine. Times of Israel reports Litzman ignored social distancing guidelines and in so endangered Israel's leaders. He allegedly broke his own ministry's guidelines on social distancing by attending group prayer services in the days before he was diagnosed. He's blamed for failing to adequately prepare Israel's large, insular, ultra-Orthodox community, in which Litzman is a member, for the coronavirus pandemic. In response to his failure, a group of senior medical officials in major hospitals have asked Prime Minister to replace him as health minister with a legitimate health professional. A Florida woman is facing a felony domestic battery charge after allegedly clobbering a man with a can of SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, man, they're good.
Dude. A blow that left the victim with a large laceration on his head. The victim told police that after arriving home from the hospital on Saturday afternoon, he got into a verbal argument with Shady Miranda. That's her name.
Okay. My guess, that's a nickname.
S-H-A-D-A-E.
Really?
Shade-A's, or is it Shade-A? I don't know.
Shade?
Or Shade. I like Shady Miranda.
I like Shady better.
The victim and Miranda were sharing a room at a Travel-In motel. The affidavit said that it had the victim's name redacted, as well as details of what prompted the couple's fight. But the man told the police that he sought to de-escalate the situation by gathering some of his belongings and stepping outside the room, where he ended up sitting in a lawn chair. Miranda, cops alleged, began striking the victim while he was still inside the room. As the man lounged outside, She allegedly struck him in the head. Listen to this, though. This sounds really painful. With a 15.6-ounce metal can of SpaghettiOs that was in a plastic bag.
Oh, wow. Like nunchucks. Like SpaghettiO nunchucks.
Big time. While speaking with the victim, an officer observed a large laceration on the top of his head consistent with being struck with the can.
I mean, I think of that scene in Full Metal Jacket where they wrap the bars of soap in the towel. Yep. It's kind of the same thing. Wow.
Yeah, or even
the worse. The Marines have switched to SpaghettiOs now. Yeah.
Even worse, Steve, what was the movie with Sean Penn? And he goes, is it Bad Boys?
Bad Boys.
The original Bad Boys?
Yeah, yeah.
They use soda cans in a towel.
Oh, jeez.
It's nasty. During police questioning, Miranda claimed that the man had struck her on the arm, but a deputy reported no signs of injuries, cuts, or bruises consistent on her side of the story.
Man, they had all the trappings of a good romantic weekend.
Didn't they? A folding chair,
SpaghettiOs, and a motel.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's all you need. All right, one last story, and we will wrap it up. A New Jersey lawyer busted for putting on a Pink Floyd show on his front lawn. And since he didn't invite people to watch him play in person, John Maljan was slapped with multiple charges after police said they found about 30 people, some in lawn chairs and drinking alcohol, sitting outside his home Saturday night. Cops said Maljan was singing Pink Floyd tunes with a microphone and an acoustic guitar.
What song? So they give you a song selection?
It does not. All right. It wasn't until an officer actually approached him that he stopped. Meanwhile, some people gathered for the show yelled, F the police and welcome to Nazi Germany as officers intervene in the illegal gathering.
It sounds really magical.
But Maljan's attorney claims his client never invited anyone to sit outside and watch. The performance was simply meant for his friends and was being streamed live on Facebook and people just started showing up.
Couldn't he have done it in the backyard?
He didn't realize how many people had shown up because it was dark. He said my client was unable to see the extent of the people that had gathered to watch.
Thank you!
And he said he also wasn't aware of anybody saying horrible or vulgar things to officers, but he has been busted, and obviously he's going to contest that.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A Florida woman and her 61-year-old father. This is horrible.
Oh, boy.
Were hit in the head with a baseball bat after approaching a large group of college-age people and warning them about social distancing. The attack happened Saturday night off of Key West and left both victims with head injuries. The 21-year-old woman told police that she and her father were on a boat. They saw about 20 people drinking on the beach. Florida had issued a stay-at-home order last week that includes a ban on gatherings of 10 people or more. The woman said she and her father confronted the group about social distancing and asked them to keep the noise down, but at least one assailant grabbed a baseball bat and struck both victims in the head. It's unclear how many people took part in the assault. The group immediately took off on three boats that were docked nearby. No one has been arrested.
So that's your response? Instead of just saying F you smash him in the head with a baseball bat?
Yeah, I think they came upon the wrong people to try and
they were not down with the concept of social distancing.
No, and you know what? And that's kind of a cautionary tale. I know you're doing your part, and when you see people who aren't doing their part, you may want to confront them, but you never know exactly who you're dealing with, and you just hope that maybe the authorities will get a chance to, or somebody in, you know, in an authoritative position can come over and take care of that.
Like that neighbor across the street with his shirt off swinging a chainsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just let it be.
Yeah, yeah. Both victims were taken to the hospital for treatment. Authorities said the woman had a large lump on the back of her head, while her father had a big lump on the side of his head. So, you know, they're going to try and find out who did that. All right, this is pretty wild. In a follow-up story, the estranged wife of Anne McLean, a decorated NASA astronaut, has been indicted on two charges of lying to federal authorities following a public dispute in which she had accused McLean of improperly accessing their joint bank account from the International Space Station.
From space.
Yes. So I do remember this story.
I do, yes.
The details have come in, and it's interesting. Summer Warden, a former Air Force intelligence officer and National Security Agency employee, by the way, is accused of making false statements to the Federal Trade Commission and NASA's Office of Inspector General. The indictment was handed down by a grand jury in Houston. Warden is expected to make her initial appearance on April 13th. The indictment does not name the astronaut McClain, but the attorney's office identified her as a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army on detail in NASA's Johnson Space Center. So,
well, it could be one of any astronauts.
Right. So Warden maintained multiple accounts at USAA Federal Savings Bank and shared access with McClain. In March of 2019, Warden filed a complaint with the FTC alleging McClain had improperly accessed one account on two dates in January of that year.
We're the bank that cares about astronauts.
Warden claimed that she had opened a new account in September of 2018 and reset her password to prevent McClain from accessing her accounts. But the indictment alleges that Warden actually opened an account in April of 2018 and did not even change her login credentials until January of 2019. So she lied about that, which means that the astronaut could not have access to her account. So the couple's separation reportedly involved a parenting dispute.
What if they had asked the astronaut to come in?
Right.
I really can't.
I'm out of the country right now. If convicted, Warden could face up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Wow.
That stuff gets touchy.
Yep. An Illinois man who suspected that is, and this is a terrible story, too.
Oh, terrible.
I'm sorry.
And the not good.
An Illinois man who suspected that his girlfriend had contracted COVID-19, shot and killed her and then himself. And then they both tested negative for the disease.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. We must assume he was unhinged at some level.
I'm going to guess. But you know, so deputies went to the home. It was a welfare check because the people hadn't heard from these people in a while. And they found Patrick Jezernik and Cheryl Schrieffer dead in separate rooms with obvious signs of trauma to their heads. The couple, who were not married, had been together for 8 years. A revolver containing two spent shells, casings, and live rounds were found near his body. There were no signs of struggle. The home was neat and orderly. A man at the scene told deputies that Jezernik's parents asked him to check because they had not heard from their son in a while. But Steve, a check of the address showed no previous calls for service in regards to domestic disputes. Family members had arrived and told authorities that Jezernik had been scared that he and Schrieffer had contracted COVID-19, saying Schrieffer had been tested 2 days earlier. The relative said that Schrieffer had been having a hard time breathing and that, to their knowledge, she had not gotten her test results. So,
I mean,
I don't know, man.
Wait
for the test results.
And also realize most people recover.
Yeah. All right. And then one last story. All right. A good story concerning the coronavirus. $40,000 can buy a lot of things. For a couple, one couple, it bought them a single bottle of bourbon, a generous sum of money that is going to help keep a well-known local restaurant afloat. While restaurants are considered essential businesses, many of them are left essentially broke right now. Suzanne Perry and her husband are the owners of Dat's, a popular restaurant chain in Tampa Bay. Suzanne said it was weeks ago when the pandemic really started to elevate and she became worried about her business. With some valuable collectibles on their shelves, Suzanne and her husband started listing some things on their website to sell. She said, "We did sell some Remy that was $3,700. We've sold $1,000 bourbon. But the most valuable item at all that was listed was the Pappy Van Winkle 25-year-old bottle of bourbon." Suzanne said that she did some research online to see how much the bottle was worth, and she decided to list it for $20,000.
Wow.
She said she got some calls from people trying to lowball her for the bourbon. She said, "I know those weren't the right people to own this.
Turn it into hand sanitizer?"
The right person with the right intention was going to be a proud owner, and a buyer showed up in a big way, a check written to Dad's for $40,000.
So twice the asking price.
Yeah, Suzanne said when she first saw the cashier's check, she thought it was a mistake. She said the money from the check has already helped her to hire back 6 of her staff members.
That's wonderful.
And is currently helping provide meals for local health care workers and first responders. She said, "As much as we love that bourbon, and it was hard to part with it, it wasn't hard to part with it when we got to keep our staff. And the buyer's only request, that they remain anonymous." So we
need to find out who they are.
That's a great.
That's
a great story. So I thought that would be a good one to end with.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.